You're listening to Well Made, a podcast from Lumi about the people and ideas behind your favorite online brands. I'm your host, Stefan Ango. Natalie and Caleb Ebelt, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hello.
You are the husband and wife duo and co-founders of Backdrop. Backdrop is a digitally native paint company. How do you guys describe it these days?
In the most fundamental way, we've taken a new approach to the paint category, which includes, you know, a really limited color palette of the highest quality paints, painless sampling process with these 12 by 12 premium color swatches, and the highest quality supplies shipped to your door. And then, you know, it really is a new way to think about kind of your home space. And your walls represent a meaningful share of that space, but have been kind of neglected. And they're truly the backdrop to all of those kind of memories and experiences that you have in your space. And so we want, you know, to really give them their due and let people transform their space through paint, but also think about their walls in a more romantic way.
So I want to talk a lot about kind of how you approach just the market itself, because, you know, it's one that obviously has been sold through contractors, you know, things that you buy at Home Depot or different places, and you're really rethinking that purchasing experience and how that works. And that's very fascinating to me. But, you know, as I was introducing you, I think a really important part of your story is that you're a husband and wife duo. That's like a pretty unusual thing among founders of companies.
Yeah.
I guess, how did you two meet, and how long did it take for you to figure out we want to start a business together?
Oh, man. We met a very long time ago. We actually have known each other since high school.
Yeah, we've dated since high school and got married shortly after college. So we've been together a very long time, well before Backdrop.
And have a lot of history together.
That's good.
Yeah.
I was just having this conversation because my co-founder, Jesse, and I have known each other now for 10 years. And we started working together like as a business almost just like a year into our friendship. And the thing that I describe to someone is I can imagine having an entire conversation with Jesse. Like, I know her so well and she knows me so well that we can play out the entire scenario without the other person having to be there. So like it really just accelerates conversations. I don't know if you find the same thing happens with you.
Totally. It's a really helpful kind of foundation for all the things that you need in business together. So that mutual trust and kind of deep understanding of each other was the foundation for now having a business relationship. And we keep learning, even after, you know, 10 years of marriage, learning new things about each other and working together, which is also fun.
So Natalie, you had a background in marketing before Backdrop, with spending time with Pencils of Promise, which is a really cool nonprofit. And Caleb, you were mostly in finance at Warby Parker and BioLite. Like, what was the conversation, I guess, that brought you to the decision we should start a business together?
Sure. I mean, most of this just came out of our experience having painting all the apartments that we were living in New York. So, you know, we experienced that pain all too many times as we were moving around, but also transforming our, you know, space in shabby New York City apartment. Paint was the most transformational way, and especially like on a low budget, to change that space around. And so we had that experience several times. And, you know, most recently in 2016, we started thinking to ourselves, this is literally the most painful thing that we've ever done in our home space. It just doesn't make any sense. And started looking at why that might be the case. And, you know, our backgrounds from, you know, brand and finance and operations have been helpful in starting Backdrop, but those weren't the things that led us to starting Backdrop necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has paint on their walls. I actually grew up painting with my dad. I loved the process. I had an obsession with changing the colors in my room all the time and saw how transformational a fresh coat of paint can have on a space, even on a tiny budget, but also all the pain points of it. So like Caleb said, we painted every apartment. And we really started thinking about this idea in earnest in 2016, but kind of put it on pause because I got pregnant. And
we started a family.
Yeah, we started a family, but came back to it naturally. We live on the Upper West Side and have this small pocket room, which we were turning into a nursery. And in 2017, I was redoing that. And all I wanted to do was paint it white. And we live next door to a hardware store. So, you know, I go next door, I say, what's your best-selling white? Well, we don't really have a best-selling white. Here's you know, 300 white colors and then 30 other swatches. And I was just appalled that, one, they couldn't tell me what their purest white was. And two, while I was redoing the nursery, I ordered a vintage rug from this dealer in Morocco. And I think I got the rug in 8 days. And that was an easier process than picking out paint in 2017. And that was kind of our light bulb moment of, this is broken and there needs to be something done.
And what is, like, why are there so many colors? I don't even know. Is it just, like, color inflation? Like, they need to launch something new every year or something? Or why is there so many colors?
Yeah, it's really seen as this abundance marketing, but really what it is thrusting decision paralysis onto customers. And like Natalie said, we live near this hardware store, and we'd walk by it every day actually going to the train, and you'd see people standing in front of that color wall of like 3,000 colors, just pulling their hair out.
How could the paint companies not know that? Like, I feel like they must know that that's like a problem with the way that they're approaching it, no?
I think the challenge is trying to be all things to all people. So when you offer every single color, you make sure that you're not losing out on any opportunity because you've got every color covered. And I think it just goes down to, all of this is compounding from decisions that have been made in the past. So one of those decisions was, we're going to sell paint in the hardware store and we're going to add color as the last step to that purchasing experience. And so when you do it that way, you don't inventory anything except the base and you add color as the last step. So there's no incremental cost of offering infinite color options because those colors are mixed and shaken at the last step. And so everything kind of like compounds from there.
Yeah, you're saying that because it's possible, then you do it?
Yeah, exactly.
In your case, are you inventorying the different colors or how does it work?
Yeah, so we curated a color palette in our launch collection of 50 colors, and we mix the color in the manufacturing process, and that gives us a lot of flexibility. So it's both a truer, more consistent color, and it allows you to maximize all the other good stuff that you want in a can of paint because you're not leaving that excess to account for every other possible color combination, like the traditional way of manufacturing paint. And then, yeah, we inventory the actual pre-mixed paints so we can turn them around really quickly for our customers.
I don't know if you know this, but before Lumi, I co-founded with Jesse a company that made ink. We made fabric dye. And that one of our biggest challenges was keeping all the colors in stock and just having inventory of all of the different colors is expensive. Like, how do you actually deal with that?
I mean, we're fortunate that we have, you know, a pretty nimble supply chain and really great partners. So we can, you know, turn around a new order of any kind of paint sheen combination that we want from our factory in about a week and order in relatively small quantities. And so that gives us the flexibility to offer the customer a great, you know, experience with kind of on-demand paint in our colors, but not have excessive inventory like you're mentioning.
Yeah. So what else is it about that experience, like going down to the hardware store, that you felt you wanted to change?
Yeah, I mean, every touch point of the hardware store can be miserable. It's not the most thoughtful retail experience, for sure. In paint specifically, there are a few pain points that we really wanted to take away for customers. And so that starts with the color selection process. Like you mentioned, there's infinite color options, but that creates a lot of decision paralysis. And there's really no easy way to navigate that. So the traditional process we just walked through, you go stand in front of that 3,000 color wall and you take a bunch of cards home to try to make sense of it. You get around to making sense of it. Maybe you can narrow that down to 3 or 5. You go back a second trip to the hardware store and you buy paint samples and you buy supplies. And then you go home and you paint that sample paint on your wall in some fashion and you try to see, is this the right color for me?
The funny story about that is when my mom was painting her living room, she had 3 or 4 swatches painted up on her wall. I think they were up there for 90 days. And then she also forgot what color she painted. And it just highlights again that it was just not the right process. And
yeah, in that time, she wouldn't allow anyone to come over for dinner. It was like, a disheveled home. And
yeah,
that really was informative for our experience. And In the traditional case, you finally get around to saying, well, that's the color I want. You go back now, your third trip to the hardware store, and you buy the paint. You try to figure out what supplies you need. You buy the supplies. You go home and paint. And so it's a uniquely kind of 3 to 4 step retail trip for a product that is relatively low dollar investment. It just doesn't make sense. So a lot of the experience that we wanted to solve for was around just stripping out some of that unnecessary complexity. So we spent a long time curating our launch palette, narrowing down that 3,000 color selection to our launch palette of 50. And these are colors that, you know, we fundamentally would put in our own space, right? So every color can stand on its own. Instead of 300 whites, we have 5 whites, and each of them serve a purpose. And we offered straightforward descriptions so you can see what that color will actually mean for you in your space. If you want to sample that color, we offer these 12x12 adhesive swatches that you can move around your space, wrap around corners, and it's just a cleaner and faster way to experience color in your space. The 12x12 footprint was informed by our experience sampling paint, because if you actually buy sample paint, you don't paint like a tiny little square. You know, about a square foot is what you need to really see the color. And so, you know, that footprint's really important to us. And then, you know, the supplies selection process is, you know, for a lot of people, just as cumbersome as the color selection process. You have this wall of, you know, supplies. Often you don't know what you need. And if you do know what you need, there's a lot of different quality tiers, and most of them are pretty low quality. And so we wanted to be able to offer only the supplies you actually need to paint for yourself and the highest version of those things. And so, you know, those were some of the primary pain points that we wanted to solve with Backdrop.
This is a really geeky question, but when you get those paint swatches from Backdrop, how do they actually make those? Because the ones that you get from the hardware store are like printed. I don't think they're actually painted with the paint. Are yours like actually painted?
Yeah, they're coated with paint. You know, it's not the exact latex acrylic paint that you would put on your walls, but it is a quicker drying enamel version of that. So you get basically exact match of both color and sheen on the sticker. And
right.
It's a really cool process.
I don't think you could replicate it with like the printing inks, you know, quite like 100%.
We researched this and learned a lot along the way before we launched Backdrop, because when we first set out, we're like, oh yeah, well, you know, originally we said, well, we'll paint these by hand. And then we figured out that's probably not the best solution for customers. And then we said, well, we'll print them. And like you mentioned, it's hard to get the truest color accuracy with just print. And then so we landed on this method.
That's cool. Yeah, this is a very geeky question, because like if you walk around the Lumi offices, you'll see a lot of Pantone swatches and stuff like that. So it's very, we're very aware of like color matching as a thing. And I was just like, how does that even work with paint? Because it's all different types of pigments than you would use in the printing world. But it's one thing to, you know, go down to the hardware store and do this whole process and feel like this could be better. And another thing to say, like, we're going to commit the next 5 to 10 years or more of our lives to actually like solving this problem. What was the process to coming to that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I think we started, you know, asking ourselves, is this a New York City renter's problem or is this a problem? And we started talking to friends and family across the country, you know, homeowners in the Midwest where we're from, renters on the West Coast. And what we found was everyone was investing time and energy in their home space and were painting. And a lot of them saw the same pain points that we were seeing, which was, you know, an overwhelming process of going to this miserable retail location multiple times to paint. And so that resulted in people putting off painting projects or just really kind of having a lot of disdain for the process. And so we also found that there was no brand affinity in this category. There was no, you know, most people don't even know the brand or especially the color of the paint on their walls. And so a real opportunity to both offer really high quality product and simplify the experience, but build a brand that, you know, allows people to think about their walls in a different way. And so, you know, we really started seeing that there's an opportunity here. And we started researching this even more and trying to figure out why this was the case, right? So there was a problem, but why was there a problem? And what we came to was, you know, this is a category that's fundamentally owned by this handful of, you know, 4 to 5 industrial manufacturing companies who are, you know, from the early 1800s. They've been doing this for over 200 years. And doing it the same way for a lot of that time. And then paint is kind of a unique consumer product where buying paint in 2018, both from the product and the kind of retail experience, is the same as it was for our grandparents in the 1940s, which is insane when you think about all the other technology and brand innovations in other categories. And so I think those were the things that really led us to have conviction about the opportunity.
But Natalie, you mentioned you were, you know, basically just having a baby a couple years ago. That, from a personal life commitment, like how did you decide, okay, like we're ready to do this now?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, it took a lot of conviction. And like Caleb said, we hosted a ton of focus groups and calls and just really digging deep of, is this really broken? And we think we're the right people to tackle it. I mean, quitting your job when you have a one-year-old and you're doing this together, I think shows you the level of conviction that we had and have.
I mean, starting a business in any case is not easy, whether you're doing it as a couple with a baby or without those things. I think it's challenging, but it's also nice that we have each other. We're going through this experience together, and it's definitely an adventure. And I think having a child as part of this process also kind of helps you keep, you know, clear mind and understand what's really important at the end of the day. And so, you know, being a parent and being an entrepreneur are certainly not mutually exclusive tasks.
I think we forgot to mention this, but when did you officially launch?
We launched the first week of November 2018.
Yeah, so it's been just a few months at this point. Like, how's the response been?
It's been really exciting. We're surprised by kind of the early brand reception and some of the momentum that we're seeing out of the gate. And so we're feeling really good just these couple of months in.
The website is awesome. It was done by, I don't know him personally, but he's like friends of friends, David McGillivray. They're like part of this whole little contingent. Human is a really wonderful like design agency. It's cool to see all of you collaborating together.
Yeah, they actually, we worked with David and Rebecca.
What were you looking for out of the branding and design of Backdrop? What were your like things that you told David and Rebecca?
I think just in general in the home space, what we had seen in the past is just these really overly manicured and traditional like interior brands that didn't really resonate with us. We wanted to create a clean, gender neutral brand that didn't skew too feminine or masculine.
Yeah, we really developed the brand with Are You Leading first, and then we worked with Rebecca and David, although they were part of that process. But David took that amazing brand vision and helped transform it into an awesome digital experience.
I think when you're working with something so nuanced like color, the web experience is so important. And visualizing paint in different forms, whether it's a wet roll, a dry roll, a corner, was really important. And our website has really conveyed all the different use cases of color.
Yeah, it's kind of unique in seeing paint in all of its forms and real paint, right? We shot real paint in all its forms. And what we're seeing is really exciting. So we see about half of our orders come through from people who don't sample the swatches. And We take that as a huge vote of confidence for both the colors curated, but also the website experience and the confidence building that happens when you can see paint in all its forms. And so that's really exciting for us.
Do you feel like you're still in the product market fit phase, or do you feel like you kind of figure that out? It's like an interesting challenge, I think, because it's like a pretty well-known product. Like people know about paint, and the people who need to buy paint hopefully find out about it. So are there things that you're trying to refine right now about that experience?
Yeah, I mean, every day we're refining. I'm not sure when that period really starts and ends. I think we've seen a lot of excitement and people telling us like, I haven't painted ever and now I'm painting because you guys made it easy and painless and inspired me. Seeing people who had been putting off painting for a really long time. So I think the market's definitely there, as you mentioned. Like everyone has walls, most everyone has paint on those walls. And so people are actively painting and there's a captive market. You know, our kind of core consumer is, you know, digitally oriented as we were, and our first instinct is to figure out, okay, where am I going to buy this thing online? And not that long ago, that wasn't an option. And so, you know, I think there's definitely product market fit, but we're learning every day about how we better address that.
I think also it's showing people with Backdrop, paint's not precious. Before it was precious because it took multiple trips to the hardware store, more time and money investment. But now you can switch up your paint every 6 months, every year, however often that you want to. Color can be so transformational for a space. And what's been cool, like Caleb said, we're getting DMs all the time, you know, Backdrop just makes me want to paint. I don't need a paint, but I'm trying to figure out what color to go into a room right now because I want to use your paint. And it's been really exciting.
What's your process to go and find new customers? Are you using like Facebook, Instagram type of ads, or have you found a different approach to doing that?
I mean, here early on, it's been really organic. We launched in November, and obviously your first customers are your friends and family, and then you start seeing orders from people you don't know who they are or how they heard of you, which is way more exciting, and then it grows from there. And so, it's just been kind of an organic spreading. We've benefited from some press, which definitely amplifies and helps you get the word out. We did a little bit of kind of social media marketing, but, it's been predominantly organic to date, and we think that's the best way to grow.
I think, too, it's just creating a brand that people want to talk about. Previously, when we were doing our focus groups and interviews with friends and family, people didn't know what brand of paint they used. They didn't know what color of paint they used, and they had no affinity toward the process. But now with Backdrop, we see people sharing, my new backdrop is Surf Camp and my new backdrop is Tan Lines. And I think that's all a part of just creating a brand that's memorable and makes people want to talk about it.
Natalie, I'm curious, like when you were at Pencils of Promise, first of all, can you like do a super quick description of what it is, but also what was your role there? And is there anything that you learned from working at that nonprofit that's helping you with Backdrop?
Yeah. So I worked at Pencils of Promise. I was the CMO there. So I oversaw all brand and marketing, and POP, as we called it for short, is an education nonprofit that works in Ghana, Guatemala, and Laos, just furthering education. So I think what that really taught me was the power of brand and also the power of building a community. At Pencils of Promise, we had no budget, but we had one of the better brands. Like, we won Adweek's Best Brand Award in 2016. We had a huge community of supporters, and it just taught me that the best brands don't buy customers, but they build a community that's grounded in authenticity. And that's really how we've taken the approach to building Backdrop. Previous to that, too, I worked in publishing. So I've really been passionate about storytelling my whole career, and I think that's part of brand building.
What does community mean for you at Backdrop?
Community can mean so many things, but just having early supporters rally behind our idea and get excited and tell people about it and want to be a part of it and want to wear wet paint shirts. And it's so much more than just paint, though. It's a brand. And
I think community is also, we have this group of people who are interested in transforming their home space. And I think there's a pretty active group of people who want to, engage around interior design and understand what other people are doing in their homes, whether from a design angle or just being kind of voyeuristic about understanding how other people live in their spaces. And so I think that's also an element to our community, just understanding and empowering people to talk about, their spaces and what they do in their spaces, and kind of the humanity part of that is what we've seen so far.
And I think a huge inspiration for Backdrop, when I worked in publishing, I worked on a book called The Selby Is in Your Place, and it's by Todd Selby. And I've always loved that book. I actually have it displayed on our bookshelf at home. It's been there for about 10 years. And it just goes inside people's apartments and homes and shows their spaces in the most authentic way. It's a little messy. It's a little unkept. But that's how most of our places are. And there's another publication called Apartamento, which we really love. And I think both of those things were huge inspirations for the Backdrop brand and aesthetic.
We had we did a podcast a couple weeks ago with Paul Munford of Lean Lux, and we were thinking out loud, brainstorming together, what are the types of digitally native brands that are able to build communities, the ones that we think could have an interesting physical presence? Like, which ones do you actually want to go to a store for, or which ones do you want to go hang out somewhere on an online community? And I think that for sure, like the home building experience is something that people like seek out help for and want to experience things. I'm curious, like, do you see yourself maybe building community like online somehow? We were talking about forums, for example. And or do you see yourself having your like a retail experience someday? Where do all those things fit in with your idea of community?
Yeah, I think yes to both of those things. I think, community needs to live across both physical and digital touch points for sure. And we're starting already to incubate a pretty active community of people that support Backdrop and like seeing other people's home spaces and engaging around color. I think physical retail is something that's really interesting for a a brand like Backdrop, you know, specifically in paint, because it's always lived in these hardware store retail channels, you never interact with the product. It's kind of a unique purchase where you go four times and you never touch or even see the real thing. You just see representations of it. And so I think there's a version of retail that can make a lot of sense. And as part of that, having a space for programming and kind of, you know, physical relationships would be really interesting. So definitely something we want to explore in the future.
Yeah, I think always experiencing the brand in real life is important because we're all online. And when you get to bring it to life and get to see it and hear it and feel it, and like this is what the brand looks like, it can be really powerful.
How would the Backdrop store be different than going to Home Depot?
Well, it doesn't exist yet, but I think in
we're just painting a picture.
Yeah, painting a picture. I mean, I think
I didn't mean to make a pun.
No, that's good.
It worked out. I'm taking credit for it.
Yeah, I think having the opportunity to see just how easy it is to paint, right? Because a lot of people are intimidated by this process that's been so overly complicated, would be really powerful. So you get that roller in your hand and you get real paint and the ability to, you know, interact with the product. You know, see how low odor it is, see how easy it applies, see how satisfying it is to paint a wall. It is addicting. Like, we paint a wall and then we're like, what else can we paint?
I can't tell you how many walls we've painted here in our office. I'll be on a call and I'll just get out the roller and test it out. And I think too, people forget how it's a really like sensorial therapeutic process. When you can roll and you can dip it, but also realizing the quality of our paint is superior.
Yeah. So I think that flavor of retail experience would be really interesting and powerful and just doesn't exist in the category. And then if you compare that with the ability to, you know, create community in a physical location where people can meet and interact around relevant programming, like, I think that is the flavor of retail that makes sense for new brands.
You were saying the quality of your paint is superior, and I just don't really know what that means. Like, to me, you know, in my mind, I just don't know what I'm picturing as the difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for customers in this category to, I think, compare quality across different brands, because in most cases, you're choosing a brand and then and buying that and not necessarily, you know, sampling multiple paint brands and comparing across. And it's also a product that lives on your walls. And so it's, I think that's also somewhat more difficult to compare. And there are a lot of different axes of quality, but we really focused on creating paint that is really user-friendly for our DIY customers. So even if you've never painted a room before, with the right paint and the best quality supplies, it's actually super easy. And so what that means is we've got really thick paint that doesn't drip and run. It dries pretty quickly. It's optimized for rolling, which is something called SAG. It's really low odor and low VOC green certified, and the kind of hide and quality of the pigments is top of the line. And so, you know, you get basically, you know, product that's way higher quality than you get at anything else close to our price point.
What is SAG? And now I'm like, I want to hear all the paint jargon.
So SAG is basically the measure of like how well a paint rolls on, and then leveling is kind of how well it brushes on. And so, you know, you're optimizing for those two things. And, you know, the majority of your wall surface, you're going to be rolling the paint on. And so optimizing for that experience to make sure, you know, it's as easy and user-friendly as possible.
So you're saying, like, when I roll it on, better at not like picking up like foam marks or something, or brush marks if I were to brush it on, and I'm not even really sure what that means exactly.
Yeah, these are some of the characteristics. I mean, for example, there are some paints on the market that are really thin, and so if you're going to roll on a really thin paint, you know, it's going to drip everywhere. It might splatter, and you may end up smearing it all over your wall. And so these are, you know, the things that make for a successful paint job, but you could have the best paint in the world and the worst supplies, and then you're just also smearing it on your wall. And so these things really work in tandem.
Yeah, when I was in my design schooling phase, you know, we would buy paint for fine art purposes, and there is a big difference in turn, but this is like, you know, tiny tubes of paint, like, and you're looking at like oil paints or gouache or these different types of paints, and like, those paints are super expensive. Some of them are like, you know, $15 for like a tiny tube because the pigments are really hard to get. But the difference in terms of, you know, how they mix or how the pigment comes out, you know, how it dries and all that kind of stuff. That all makes sense to me. It's just for whatever reason in the world of like home paint, I don't know, maybe most people would think of it that way. It maybe think of it a little bit more commoditized or like really what's the difference?
Yeah. I think if you've painted a wall with poor paint and you've painted a wall with good paint, you like viscerally understand the difference. Like, you know, did I have to apply that, you know, extra, you know, third coat sure. of paint? Or do I see smear marks on my wall after it dried? Can I see the under layer, you know, shining through? I think these are the things. But I think most people, you know, in the act of painting, they interpret quality on more qualitative terms, being, you know, is this covering as I paint, and does it smell bad? And so, you know, I think it is hard for consumers that aren't painting all the time to truly appreciate the quality, but makes it no less important to us.
For sure. So outside of the basic idea of we're going to try to sell paint online, which it comes with all its own challenges, what else is contrarian about the way that you're building Backdrop?
Yeah, I think our approach seems to be pretty contrarian from what we've seen in the home interior category and the paint specifically. Really from a brand perspective, we've approached this really from a consumer angle, grounded in our experience, you know, painting and going to the hardware store dozens of times. And so that's kind of informed every decision that we've made, you know, which includes rethinking the paint packaging and thinking about like the size of the color swatch and the descriptions. It's a category that leans really heavily on jargon. And so we wanted to be really straightforward with our customers and empower them and speak to them as people. So things like, for example, in some of our research, we found that, you know, most people don't actually know what an eggshell sheen is, although it's kind of the standard for the industry. And so, you know, we wanted to simplify that. And so we offer two finishes. One of them is our standard finish, which is, you know, a semi-matte, but so much dependence on complexity and jargon. And so those are some of the things. I think, you know, we don't see any other, you know, brands really embracing the beauty of the painting process and kind of the kind of messiness that comes with that. And, you know, talking about the act of painting can really be fun. I think people are, you know, scared to really lean into that. And I think that's a contrarian perspective that we have and that we really want to embrace that and focus on those things.
Natalie, is there anything else that comes to mind as far as like things that you believe about either the paint market or about starting a company that you feel like is unusual or different than the way the rest of the world thinks?
Yeah, I think like Caleb said, just taking a really straightforward consumer approach. So even, I don't know if you've seen our color samples. They're some of the largest on the market, 12 by 12, but the color descriptions are actually on each color swatch that you receive. So for example, our pure white is called Supermoon. Underneath it, it will say it's a pure bright white. So we're really trying to just simplify this process as much as possible. And this, we can really thank my mom for that when she forgot what paints that she put up on the wall. But when you're looking at color and you have text to match it, it really helps, you know, train your eye and your brain. But I think similar to what Caleb said, paint isn't precious. Like you can play with it. You can be messy with it. You can change it up. What we haven't talked about too much is, well, we won the color selection. We have a limited palette of 50 colors, but something else that was just as important as the color to us was the naming of the paint. I think a lot of the traditional paint brands are very descriptive with paint names, but we kind of took a route to really evoke an emotional connection and really create heroic names that can live on your walls and be part of your space. So I don't know if you've had a chance to look at any of them, but some.
Yeah, I have.
Do you have a favorite?
I need to pull them up again, but I was like very curious about like Palo Santo, for example. I just think is funny to like evoke, you know, like a smell or something like that. Like how do you, you know, how do you mix sensations, I guess? Because like you're trying to evoke something that is like sensory, but over the internet where you, you know, can only read and look at the, you know, images.
I think that like it was striking the right balance really between creating a feeling that people can hold on to, but also conveys color in a small way. Something else that we did pre-launch before we're launching Backdrop officially, we had a private Instagram account. And we had all of our focus group, like 100 friends and family. And we did a lot of work crowd testing to ensure the colors match the spirit of the name. You know, when you think of Palo Santo, it's kind of a feeling you want to hold on to. But when you just say beige, it's just a color. So it's creating a feeling around the brand.
Yeah, I think embracing the full kind of like sensorial aspects of paint and what they can do to your space. So for example, we have these playlists for some of our paint names that we've started launching, and
that's cool.
We'll have more. And so it, you know, it's just this thought of what does surf camp sound like and how do you experience surf camp? And, you know, in Palo Santo case, what does Palo Santo smell like? Like these are all the like sensorial ways you can interact with these concepts.
Yeah. Another one that we launched was Harajuku Morning. What does that sound like? What does that feel like? And I, you know, it's, we always say they're playlists for painting or for starting your morning. One of our investors and friends, Mick, is a big DJ. He created a playlist for us too, and they seem to be a hit. But I want people to experience the brand in all different ways, whether that's through, you know, the playlist, wearing our shirts, or paint on your walls.
How do you actually come up with these names?
It took a very long time, about a year. And something interesting about the naming process is we didn't look at each color and name it, but instead came up with name options for each color family and kind of matched them up.
Yeah, and we engaged this community that we had built pre-launch and let them be a part of the process. We had brainstorming, and as we narrowed down both the palette and the names and started pairing colors with names, like it was an interesting process to engage, you know, this 100 or so people and really kind of ingrain that community from the origins of the brand, even pre-launch.
Yeah, I think that's the cool thing about building a digitally native brand is that's truly how we did it. We crowdsourced and we asked questions and we learned. And, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of people have neutrals and whites on their walls, but we celebrate those colors. And, you know, we think you're the best person to choose your backdrop. So whatever color that is, that's great.
When I was growing up, I remember like the Crayola would do contests to like name colors. I just always loved that. I don't know if I ever actually submitted anything, but I always thought that was really cool. Do you remember that?
I totally remember it. And if you would have told me as a child that someday my job would be naming paint colors, I'd say dream.
That's the best.
Cool, huh? It's very cool. And it was actually really fun, but really stressful because when you have to, you only have 50 names.
You have to
they
commit.
All have to be great.
So. When you have 3,000 colors, like each name is a bit of a throwaway. And you know, that's almost every word in the English language. So we really wanted to make each one heroic and memorable.
Well, what's been crazy on Instagram too, some people have been writing us back saying, you know, I just bought your paint. I think the color is great, but I really love the name. I wanted the paint because it's called Surf Camp. So we see that it's resonating and it's fun to watch.
I was just going to say, I feel like you can do this process in reverse where you could come up with the name first or come up with a feeling or a sensation that you want to give, and then the color emerges from that. Did that happen as well?
That's exactly what we did. This there's a spreadsheet.
Oh, okay, okay.
And you know, just
you started with just names, and then okay.
Yeah, our first name that we developed was Surf Camp, and that kind of set the tone of like making you feel something. It's aspirational. You think of a color, but it's not quite on the nose, and went from there. So then we have names like Peyote Picnic, After Hours, Tan Lines, Ryokan Guest House, and we're inspired by travel and music and friends.
I'm getting a Japanese theme now with the Harajuku and Ryokan.
I love Tokyo.
We were just talking about that on the episode with Emily Sugihara recently. That's awesome. Well, how does travel fit into your perception of like paint and color and all of that stuff?
I think Natalie and I love to travel, and it's one of our favorite things besides eating, probably. And, you know, we've had a lot of these amazing experiences together. And I think creating that emotional connection to your space and your travel is definitely one aspect to that. It's, you know, when you're traveling, you're experiencing like sensory overload in most cases and remembering all of those looks, sounds, smells. And, you know, we want to bring some of that into your space as well.
Yeah, we love music too. So you'll see names like Pablo Honey, Skywalker, Ritual Unions. But just took things that we were inspired by and turned them into paint names.
There's an app on the iPhone that I really love called Darkroom. It's sort of like Lightroom, or it's a photo editing app that really lets you like go very extreme on color correction and different stuff. It's really like you can do really subtle, beautiful stuff with it. And one of my favorite things recently from traveling is just like trying to, it lets you like basically create your own Instagram filters. And like trying to capture like what a place feels like as an Instagram filter is kind of a fun thing for me. And I can see that being a thing where, are you starting to plan your travel? Like, let's go to some place and see like what can that lead to in terms of inspiration for new colors or new different ways to describe color.
I would love that. We would like any type of vacation, so we'll go anywhere. We haven't taken a vacation in a very long time, so I think
you should. I feel like you got to reverse engineer it. Like, where could we go to that would like really inspire us to like rethink color or something like that?
Totally. I mean, we're inspired by color. I think one of the benefits that we also have is we've got this like direct dialogue with our customer base now and just brand followers, and so you know we have the ability to learn from them, like. What colors would they prefer?
I actually asked that yesterday. Yeah. Like I posted some of our drawdown cards and I said, you know, what color do you want to see next? And I think that's how you build a brand is you listen and you let the community decide. I mean, that's how we truly launched Backdrop pre, you know, being in the public and pre-launch. It was a ton of consumer feedback filtered through really our aesthetic. And we're excited to really just put consumers first because that's what we are.
How, so you have 50 colors now, how are you going to avoid color inflation? Because I feel like Crayola has color inflation. They made lots of new colors. Like, is there a number in your mind where like, we're never going to go above 140 characters, I mean colors? Or what is it that you have to, where do you end up long term?
Definitely don't have like a line in the sand. 50 was not like a systematic process to get to that number. I mean, we want to keep it simple so we don't overwhelm customers, and we want to offer kind of the majority of what most folks want filtered through our aesthetic and preferences and kind of the test of would we actually have that on our wall. We don't want a palette full of vanity colors that are purely for marketing purposes or overly trendy. You know, we really focused on timeless colors that we'd be proud to have in our own space. And so that's really the test, but there's no line in the sand. And, you know, we'll take our guidance from customers. We may retire some of our launch palette at some point and add new colors, but really focused on, you know, simplicity.
That's kind of a fascinating idea too. Like retiring colors makes sense to me, or making, you know, a constantly revolving like array. I mean, there's probably a few colors that you'll want to keep forever, but I actually think one of the places that's nearby in my neighborhood, speaking of food, is Salt and Straw. They also have very colorful ice creams. One of their well-known ice creams is like a lavender honey, and it's like this like very beautiful light purple, you know, sort of lavender color. But they are constantly rotating out flavors. And it, you know, on one hand, it's like, man, that was one of my favorite flavors, and it, you know, was only out for a month and now it's gone. But on the other hand, you know, they do have standards that they keep, and it's like fun to see favorites come back, you know, periodically. So I could see that working well for paint as well.
We actually have color too. It's called Good Intentions, and it's a dusty.
You should do a partnership with Salt and Straw.
I should. I love ice cream.
Anything for ice cream.
Yeah, that would be cool. You've really opened up my mind about how, you know, the world of like, you know, colors that you surround yourself can really like evoke other sensations as well. So if people want to paint their house or their apartment, they should go to Backdrop Home. What are the rooms and places that people are painting?
I mean, any interior space is fair game for us. We've had customers painting everything from accent walls to entire home interiors. We've had
mural artists.
Artists, offices. So like, you know, Backdrop's a great option for a lot of these use cases for sure. The mural artist one's actually really interesting and it's fun to see.
Well, everyone can go over to Backdrop Home. What's your Instagram?
We're just at Backdrop.
Cool. I hope people check it out. And if they want to find out more, is there anything else you want to point people to?
I think one thing we're really excited about is, you know, before we launched, we partnered with the International Rescue Committee, which is the kind of leading organization that supports displaced refugee families. And, you know, Natalie comes from Pencils of Promise and I come from Warby Parker and Bylight. These are brands that have a strong like social impact ethos. And it was really important for us at Backdrop to build that into our business model. And so, you know, as our customers are investing in their home spaces, they can also support through the IRC's work, you know, families that are involuntarily displaced from their homes. And unfortunately, it's a problem at kind of historic levels. And so it's something that we're really excited about.
How does buying paint from you help support them? How do you work with them?
Yeah, we do a percentage of revenue to support their work.
That's awesome. How did you decide to work with them in particular? And how does that actually like function, like from legally and all the extra, you know, work that you have to do on that side?
I mean, it's pretty straightforward. And we would encourage every brand to, you know, find some social impact that feels authentic for what they're doing and their customers and make that part of their business model. It's so easy to do, and every brand can have an impact. So we chose IRC because it's a cause that, like I said, is kind of at historic levels, but it's something that Natalie and I have been passionate about for a really long time. And so it's such a natural fit. Our customers are, you know, fortunate to have these home spaces that they're transforming with paint. And unfortunately, there's millions of people that are displaced through war, natural disasters, and epidemics. And so the IRC is kind of the leading organization supporting those people.
Yeah. International Rescue Committee. I'm reading about it here on your website. Cool. Thank you so much, Natalie and Caleb. And it would be very exciting to have you back on the show at some point in the next year or two and see what's next and how you've grown. I'm really excited to see how the next like a couple years develop for you.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Ooh, one last thing before we go. I'm talking to you at home. What's your favorite brand these days? Is there something that you think is really well made? Or maybe someone that you'd love for me to talk to? Send us a tweet. We are at Lumi, L-U-M-I, on Twitter. We're making this show for you, so tell us what you want to hear, and we'll make it happen. Thanks. See you next time.